Hello, hello everybody, and welcome to our weekly group coaching call for the Fast Track Sales System Success Builder Group. Really excited to be on this call with you this afternoon, and sorry about that, my phone's ringing in the background, that distracted me. I'm really excited to be with you here this afternoon. We have a couple of really juicy pieces of content to go over. Welcome to everyone who is here. I see you on the line joining us live. And also welcome to those of you who are joining us on the playback. I got a couple of emails this week saying that people are going to be listening on the playback. So for those of you who are listening after the fact, welcome to the call. You don't miss anything if you join us through the playback. So never worry that you are not taking advantage of the program and that you're missing out on anything if you are joining us via the playback rather than being live on the call. But for those of you who are live, welcome. And for those of you who are listening to the playback, welcome as well. So I wanted to dive right in today. We're going to be going over our module 4, which is all about landing more appointments. And I have a couple of really juicy tips from that I wanted to share with you that are a supplement to the content. And what the landing more appointments module is all about is how do you handle that interaction on the phone when you actually get a client live, when you actually get a prospect who's there with you on the phone live. How do you handle that conversation to create a really vibrant yes from their side and to get them in the mode of saying yes to you and land that appointment really effectively? So a couple of the things from the module that I wanted to teach, and just for those of you who are joining us live on the call, I have everyone on the line muted, and it is star, let me just put it here, star 7 to talk, or star 2 to raise your hand if you have any questions. This call is always for you, so if you have any questions on something that I'm teaching or something that's from any module that we've covered or any module that's been released, this is your time, so star 2 to raise your hand. I'll happily unmute you and get to any questions that I see popping up here on the recording. So make sure that you press star 7 to unmute and star 2 to raise your hand if you have any questions. So we're just diving right into the content from the module released last week, Land More Appointments, and that is all about making sure that the interactions you have with your clients when you're setting appointments is really powerful. So the most important element in this module, one of the things that you need to decide as a business owner when you're thinking about how you handle your phone calls with prospects, is something that many business owners actually don't give too much consideration to. They don't put a lot of time and effort into thinking about how they're going to handle those phone calls and what they actually want their staff, if they have an office team, doing with those phone calls. And when you do something with intentionality, your results will improve. Just by having an intention behind it, you will improve your results. So one of the things that you need to decide is whether or not you intend to qualify leads on the phone or not. So this is a very sensitive question that many people really struggle with, because some people believe that in order to have great interactions during the sales meeting, you have to be having all of these qualifying conversations in the front end. And one of the things that I believe very firmly is that unless you are totally overflowing with tons and tons and tons of leads and you have way more business than you ever know what you could do with, no lead is a bad lead. So there is a really strong correlation to how many at-bats you get, which means how many appointments you go on and how many sales you close. And if your team has excellent closing skills and you have a 50 to 75% close rate, then you need to be getting out there and making as many at-bats as possible. So doing qualifications on the phone is not going to necessarily help your business if you have a very high close rate and if you are not overflowing with business. So if leads are slim and you're doing qualifying on the phone, you're not even giving yourself a chance to convert that potential prospect into a client. So that's one of the things I really want everyone to be really intentional about in this program before you just decide to do qualifying comments. And we're going to go over some of those qualifying comments and how you handle them and best practices of how to make sure that you're getting qualified leads. But so if you are needing to qualify your leads, if you do feel like you're ending up on a ton of appointments with not your ideal client, I want to challenge you for two things. The first thing is, where are those people finding out about you? Maybe you're advertising in the wrong areas. Maybe there's something, an old ad that you have going, that you've had going forever. Maybe you're doing ads in a, you know, a cost saver magazine that's actually not your ideal client. When you're ending up with a ton of leads or prospects who just aren't the right people to do business with, you have to ask yourself, how is it that they're finding me? How am I using my time and my effort and my money inside of my business to advertise that these potential clients, these prospects are finding me there? And if it's by word of mouth and you have a lot of business that you've done and maybe you've shifted price points or you've added a new product line that's a little bit more costly or whatever you've done to change your business, you just need to think about, what is it that makes your business not fit the needs of the people who are reaching out to you for your products? One of the very important things to do after you've done that qualification is to get rid of those advertisements. If you're advertising, let's say that you're advertising in some sort of a coupon book, like a coupon saver book, and you end up with a ton of prospects who just are looking for the lowest cost product, and that's just not your business. That's just not your vibe. That's not the products you sell. You don't have a really low-end offering. You only have a mid and high-end offering. If that's the case, stop doing that advertising. That's not serving you. Use your money, use your advertising dollars in a different way towards a client base that is going to be more in line with your ideal client. Now, I've used the word ideal client a couple of times here in this call, and one of the things I want you to start thinking about is, who is that person? And when I say who is that person, I really mean, think back on the last 2 months. It was a busy time for everyone, should have had plenty of interactions to come up with someone. Think back in the last 2 months. Who have you worked with that was a pleasure and a joy to do business with? They wanted exactly what you're selling. They didn't balk over the price. They loved the installation. They're super happy with the product. They're a raving fan. And they check all of your boxes. That is your ideal client. And when you're thinking about advertising, when you're thinking about what can you do to attract them, what you should be thinking of is speaking directly to that person, because that person is going to tell you a lot about the type of people who are going to be buying your products. So are they a family? Are they in a certain area in your region? Are they going to certain types of schools? Are their kids in certain types of schools? What kind of magazines are they reading? Think about their lifestyle, and that will help you to find out where your marketing efforts could intersect with their lives. That's one of the ways to help you hone in on what your ideal client patterns in their life look like and how you can intersect with them to help grow your prospects in more of the more in line with the type of prospects that you want to have. So anyone on the phone, star two to raise your hand, anyone have questions or comments about that ideal client and where the non-ideal client, where your no-way clients, your no-way prospects are finding you and how you can work that out, or questions about how that might be happening inside of your business? I've spoken with a couple of you one-on-one, and you raised the comment that, you know, we end up with a lot of leads from people who just aren't our qualified buyers. You know, they, for instance, they just don't have the money to afford our products. Our product price point is well beyond what their budget looks like. And if that's the case, I want to challenge you to look at your marketing, to look at where those people are finding you. And that would be an excellent question to ask people on the phone if you don't know. So how did you hear about us? Where did you find our business information? The more you know, the more information you have, the more concrete, the more laser-focused your decisions can be. Because when you're basing your decisions on fact instead of just on your feelings or on your suppositions, you can have a much more powerful, concrete decision than if you're just going on your gut feel. Now, I know as entrepreneurs, we rely on our gut feel for a lot of decisions, and we want to make sure that we're paying attention to that. But when you're talking about advertising dollars and looking at Are you attracting the right clients? Are you getting phone calls from the right type of people? You really need hard data to go on, and your gut feel isn't going to be enough to lead you to the right decision. So star two, if anyone has any questions on that or any comments that you'd like to raise, be more than happy to answer them for you. For those of you who have joined the call in the last couple of minutes, we are talking about closing more appointments, about getting your prospects who are cold prospects or maybe referrals, people who are coming into you, into your business, to say yes to that appointment so that you can get into their home, make that estimate, and have that design consultation with them so that you can sell your products to them. So we were just discussing the value or the two possible paths that you have. The one path is not to qualify your leads and just to go for the appointment. And the second path is to qualify your leads. So when you're talking about qualifying your leads, one of the paths that you can consider in this mode is to be sure that your questions are prepared in advance. So the same thing that you're going to do with when you're not qualifying, you're also going to do when you're qualifying. You need to know how you're going to handle the phone call. Whenever a client or a prospect calls, what's the goal of the call? The goal of the call, 100%, is to land the appointment. You can't sell to them unless you get in their home. So if you have office staff, if you have teams that are doing this, I really want you to have them watch the module about developing their script, so that they know how they're going to handle these phone calls. I also want them to watch the video about leaving effective voicemails. If you get on someone's voicemail and you're totally unprepared, has this happened to you? Star two if this has happened to you. I'm pressing star two a million times for myself. If you get on your voicemail and you're unprepared or you make a phone call and you suddenly have to leave a voicemail for a prospect, someone you've never talked to before, you've never had an interaction with, and you're just calling them because they left you a voicemail, and you get all bumbled up and you say something kind of silly and you forget to press the button or which button you should press to make it re-record, now you've left an unprofessional voicemail. And that's their first opinion of you. And that can happen to your office staff too. How often is it that we're multitasking when we're sitting at our desk? We're calling back prospects, we're multitasking, and suddenly that little beep of the voicemail comes on, we get thrown off, and we end up leaving a less than coherent, an unprepared, an unprofessional voicemail because we just weren't in the right mindset. If you're already ready, if you already have your little tiny 30-second script memorized in your head of what you're going to say on the phone, it's going to flow off your tongue really easily, and you're not going to end up in that awkward, unprepared, I wasn't expecting a voicemail moment. You're going to end up being able to leave really effective voicemails for your prospects. So being prepared is essential, whether you're qualifying or you're not. So we talked about what happens, why you should not qualify, and why what is the value of not qualifying. Again, more at-bats, more base hits, right? The more times you get in front of clients, the more times you get in front of prospects, the more frequently you can close. It really affects your close rate. You know, if you have more clients, you can have more sales, more prospects, sorry, they can lead to more clients. So if, however, you're in a situation where you're getting completely unqualified people who can't afford your services, they're not your ideal client, and you're spending a lot of your time spinning your wheels on the wrong people, and you're not able to convert them, and it's really affecting your close rate in a negative way, and you want to do some qualifying work, here are some tips that you can use to make sure that you're qualifying well. The first tip is simply to ask them if this is their first time considering this project. If it's their first time, they might not have an idea of what the price point even looks like. They might not even know what exactly they need or want. So they may, for instance, be calling you up for shutters, and they think that shutters are a really inexpensive thing to add to their house. And come to find out, they're incorrect in their assumption. What they're looking for doesn't match what they think they're getting. So asking them if this is the first time that they're looking into this project is a really good first lead-on question. And once they've given you that answer, if they say no, you know, that they've already looked into this and they're already, you know, down the road with this, or that they've already met with a couple of different other businesses, that's actually a good sign. It's a sign in your favor because that means that they already kind of know what you're doing. They already know a little bit. They know enough that they're not going to have sticker shock and have that be a buying hurdle that you can't overcome. If they say, yes, they have, and they've already met with a few other companies, or they're planning on meeting with a few other companies, this is a really key moment for you to ask, oh, that's really great. So tell me about that experience. What prevented you from doing business with them? And that will give you a lot of information. Some people feel the need to get 10 quotes before they make a decision. And those are the people that your salespeople can overcome that objection and can have really effective meetings and can use the on-the-spot selling techniques that we're going to learn to close those clients. So if they're just needing the data, they really feel that need for more information, that's something that we can overcome. If they say, oh, everyone's price was too high, that's a great opportunity for you to bring in what your average, you know, an average window for us goes for, blah, blah, blah. That will tell them whether or not you're also in the same ballpark that was, quote, too high for them already. So it gives you an opportunity to prepare different responses based on what their reactions to your questions might be. Now, let's say that the opposite situation happens, that you say, you know, is this the first time that you're looking at doing this project? Have you been considering this project for a while? And they respond, no, this is just the very first time that we've been looking into it. This is your segue to say, okay, great. Well, you know, what kind of products are you interested in? And if they have absolutely no idea, that's where you can start to gently weave in, you know, we offer this product, and this product. And, you know, they range in price from this to this. That is a very gentle way of giving people information that they can then make a decision on. As soon as you give them that information, let it sink in, then you need to go into your appointment setting mode. You need to figure out next, get their appointment on the books. And if they are telling you that they're going to be meeting with multiple companies, one of the little tricks is to be the last company in. So if they're telling you, yeah, we're getting quotes from a couple of different companies, say, okay, that's great. Well, let's schedule this meeting for a couple of weeks out. Because if you're the last one, what's happened is all of your competitors have teed up the ball for you. And this is your opportunity to do on-the-spot selling, to hit that ball out of the park and to close the deal. So be the last one in the door if your client, your prospect, tells you that there are multiple meetings that they're going to be having. Because you can be a really strong closer when you're last. If they're going to be meeting with three companies and you're first, they're going to feel obligated to follow through with those meetings. Now, I love to get in front of people and to tell them, you know, sure, you can meet with the other three companies. Here's probably what you'll find. You know, that first module that we did about understanding your competitors, knowing what your clients can expect from your competitors so that you can position yourself correctly, that gives you a lot of power if you're first. If you're first, you can say, okay, well, you know, there's a few other people you could possibly do business with, and here's where I stand in relationship to them. And then it's their choice whether or not they want to follow through with those appointments. And one of the things that people don't have enough of, and we all complain about it, is time. So using the argument or the rationale that, you know, it's going to take you a lot of time and effort to go through and to have this meeting again another couple of times. You know, tell me what it would take for you to do business with me. Those are the opportunities that we'll cover in the module, the next module, which is Rock Your Appointments. We'll cover some of those techniques a little bit more in depth. But just kind of to seed that right now, getting in the mindset that you want to either be first or last, and if you really want to be a strong closer and have your competitors tee up the ball for you, be last. Be the last one in and make sure that you close that sale right then and there when you're at that appointment. So those qualifying factors, asking them if they've been looking into this project, if this is the first time or they've been looking at it for a while, and then asking them which type of products that they're considering gives you the room to be able to qualify those prospects. Now, one of the reasons that I suggest not qualifying prospects, again, it gives you more at-bats, and I think that you can always help people figure out how to find the money. You can have them do their project in phases. you can work with them on a less expensive option. There are so many ways that you can get around the price objection. And one of the really cool statistics to keep in mind is that only 20% of buying decisions truly come down to price. Only 20%. Even in an environment where you're under a lot of competitive pressure, only 20% of buying decisions come down to price and price only. So if that's your clients are price and price and price only, then just you need to be totally prepared for that. And it's a little bit of a different selling techniques in our next module that we'll cover. So one of the reasons, again, why I don't suggest qualifying your clients, even though I'm giving you some tips on how to do it, I want to make sure I cover all the bases for you, but is that we have the power of the appointment affirmation under our belt. So quick little raise of hands here, and it's star 2 to raise your hands for everyone on the phone. And for those of you who are listening to the replay of the call, no raising your hands, but star 2 to raise your hand if you have already listened to the appointment affirmation module, the module about being prepared for your meetings. Star 2 to raise your hand. I'm here looking at you. It's called Creating Lasting First Impressions. It was module 3, and I'm just wondering if the everyone on this call, star 2 to raise your hand if you have listened to that. No. Okay. So we might need to backtrack a little bit, which is no problem. But the appointment affirmation module is all about the creating lasting first impressions. It's all about that email that you send, that beefed up, really juicy appointment reminder email. And it's a reminder on steroids. It has the budget worksheet, which is what I'm going to talk about. It has your video introduction. It has the invitation to reschedule, and it has the reminder, time, date, and location of the appointment wrapped up into an email that you can prepare in advance. And all you have to do is plug in the time and date and location, and you're ready. Your office staff can send it just like that. So the piece of that appointment affirmation that's really key here that you can customize for your clients is that budget worksheet. That budget worksheet is going to give them average value of your products so that they're prepared for the level of investment that they need to make when you show up. And as we talked about last week, calling that budget worksheet something a little bit more enticing, like a design guide or, you know, your shutter guide or your project planner or something that doesn't say budget worksheet. Budget worksheet is just the word we use internally because we have to call it something. But using it something else, calling it something else like a product guide or a planning guide will help them to want to open it. And when they open it, then they'll see, oh, yeah, that's right. I should probably have a budget in mind for this project before all these companies come out, before this company comes out to work with me. And it will help those clients of yours who are truly not your client, those prospects who are just way outside of the realm of someone that you would do business with, self-qualify or self-disqualify. And what they will do is they will likely cancel their appointments if they really feel like, whoa, I definitely can't spend that kind of money on this. They'll reschedule their appointment or they'll simply cancel, which will ultimately be a benefit to you. If you're not doing any qualification work in the first place, it allows them to do the qualification work on the back end. So that's one of the little features, one of the reasons why inside of this model, I don't strongly recommend qualifying your prospects. So just wondering if there are any questions. You can press star 7 to talk if you want to just do that. Everyone's on mute. Or star 2 to raise your hand if there are any questions up to this point. And if there's anything at all that you want me to touch on or anything that you're questioning about this appointment setting. Someone just come off of mute?
Hello.
Cool. Yep, come on, jump on in. Yep, hi.
Hey, Madeline, this is Bruce at Shutter Up in New Orleans.
Hey, Bruce, welcome to the call.
Hi, I just wanted to comment something you said earlier on that I thought was I oftentimes try to qualify when I get a sense or I know that somebody's calling from a neighborhood that really isn't first class or maybe not someone that is qualified or has the money. But I love the way you said, phrase it as, is this the first time you've considered this project? Because I'm always groping around and grasping at straws and trying to ask it in a diplomatic way about, have you considered shutters before? Have you looked at other shutters? But that phrase alone was worth this conversation to me. Just, is this the first time you've considered this project? That's a great way to phrase it and to pose the question without running the risk of offending somebody.
Yes, and thanks for that, Bruce. I really appreciate it. It comes from really paying attention to your words. And sometimes it's hard to come up with the right words if you don't have them, right? If you don't have it, it's what one of my teachers calls a bufo, a blinding flash of the obvious. It's obvious after you know it.
You're right. That's a very, very good way of saying it, the blindingly obvious. But I've never thought of phrasing it that way. I've often said, have you looked at shutters before? And then they get the sense right away that you're kind of checking them out and seeing if they have the money. Anyway, just my two cents.
Sure. No, I totally appreciate that, Bruce. It's a simple phrase. It's just as powerful. Bruce, I'm going to go ahead and put you on mute again if you want to unmute *7. It's just as powerful as in module number, in this module we're discussing right now, I talk about being credible. And I have this really simple credibility hack that I call say, do, remind. And all it is it's saying what you're gonna do for someone, doing it, and then when you do it, reminding them with the simple words, as promised. You would not believe the volume of credibility and the amount of trust, equity, that you build up with people when you consistently respond to them, as promised, here's this email. As promised, I'm leaving this voicemail. As promised, here's that product you wanted. That little as promised, what it does, it's the same idea as these words, have you ever considered this project before? Or is this the first time you're considering this project? What it does is it reinforces trust. And it's just one of those really powerful phrases that when you know it, when you know how to use it, it just makes all the world of a difference. And Bruce, I want to just jump off of one of the things that you said. You said that using the phrase that I'm suggesting, it prevents you from offending someone. And that's one of the big risks that you run when you do qualifying, is that you can offend someone. And there's a really good story that I have about making assumptions, buying out of someone else's pocket. Here's a really great story. One of my good friends lives down in beautiful Naples, Florida, and was this was almost a decade ago, so I don't know if things have changed, but there was a street right there in Naples where all the exotic car dealerships were. And I mean, they had Lamborghini there and all the McLaren and the beautiful exotic cars were all on this one little strip. And there's a McDonald's, right, nestled in between all of these high-end dealerships. And my friend went to this McDonald's, and he was standing in line, and he was chatting with the guy in front of him. And the guy in front of him looked like a bum. He looked like kind of disheveled. He was wearing one of those, typical Floridian shirts with the palm trees on it and casual, like, cargo pants, shorts, but they were a little bit ratty and really ratty sandals. And my friend was actually wondering if he should offer to buy this guy lunch because he felt, man, I don't even think this guy has money to afford McDonald's. Like, he doesn't seem like this is a weird place to meet him. And they were having just a friendly, casual conversation, and he opted not to offer to buy his lunch. And they ended up having their little McDonald's lunch together. Come to find out, the guy who my friend thought was too poor to afford McDonald's owned 4 of those exotic car dealerships. So we buy out of other people's pockets sometimes by making assumptions, by judging the book by the cover. Now, in the work that we do, when we show up to their home, it's often pretty clear whether or not that's going to be a home that your product is going to be able to be on. But before you get there, the only opportunity you have is by seeing their number pop up on your caller ID, seeing their area code, finding out where their location is, knowing their zip code. And sometimes we make an inappropriate assumption just based on that. Someone could be calling from a cell phone, and maybe they grew up in one neighborhood and now they're living in another and they've done very well for themselves. So we just want to be careful that we're not buying out of somebody else's pocket or we're not making buying decisions or selling decisions based on what we would afford in their shoes. So we want to totally leave it up to other people and be ready and willing with options. Bruce, I think a great option for people who might not have the financial wherewithal to do the whole project all at once. And I know with hurricane protection, you don't want to do someone the disservice of giving them a partially protected home. Like that can be very dangerous. But being able to do the project in phases and to offer them an alternative solution, you know, if they want a high-end product, maybe you can do the high-end product on the parts of their home that face the street and then do a low-end product elsewhere. You know, there are lots of options, and if you can get more creative with your selling process and your quoting process, you might be able to come up with solutions that give them what they want in the budget that they have. And that's where using that budget worksheet document that I've provided to you in this module and customizing it for your own business and call it like a product planning guide or a project planner. That would be a great way to call it. Lets them see what the options are, lets them prepare a budget, and lets them decide whether or not this is something that they want to move forward with. And of course, just because you provide a tool does not mean someone's going to click and use it. So it's not a silver bullet. That doesn't mean that all of your unqualified prospects are suddenly going to mass exit your schedule. That's probably not going to happen. I don't want to overstate the power of this, but I have seen it be extremely effective and something that really gets a lot of mileage when it's used appropriately. So thank you for that. Any other questions? I see a couple more people here with us on the line. So star 2 to raise your hand, or you can just do what Bruce did, which is star 7 to just unmute yourself and talk. And we can open up for questions on any front. So it doesn't have to be just directly related to what I've talked about here. If you have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them. So just while we're on the topic of questions that I'm happy to answer, I want to share with you, I had a one-on-one coaching call with one of my clients in similar program, different industry, and it was a 30-minute call. And he came to that call with, I kid you not, with 15 questions that he had for me. And we just went through one after another, after another, after another, after another, of stuff he wanted to know in his business. Anything from what should I do with my Facebook page to, you know, how should I want to add a new product line, what should I do about this? And while that might not be the exactly appropriate way to use these group coaching calls, anything that you have questions on that are related to the content, you know, we cover a lot of content in this course. We've covered strategy, goals, competitive edge in module number 1. In module number 2, we talked about increasing your impact with bonus and limiters. So that means repackaging up what you're doing, finding ways to integrate in a service bonus package so you can get back into people's home, sell them more products, upsell them, cross-sell them, get back in there, create more repeat business from your loyal clients. We've talked about in module 3, creating lasting first impressions. That's our appointment affirmation with the video introduction. And gosh, guys, this video introduction is worth its weight in gold. I'm going to tell you another story about this video introduction. The very first time I heard about it, I was at an interior window covering convention, and there was a lady from a tiny little town in the middle of nowhere, and she was running up to the stage every 2 seconds to get an award. She had passed the 7-figure mark in her first year in business because she used, and I didn't find out directly that day. I've developed a friendship with her. I found out over time. But this is one of the things she does in her business. She uses a video introduction for all of her salespeople. So if you haven't looked at that module yet, this is something, it's not going to take long. It might take 30 minutes to an hour of your time to do. It's so powerful. It gives your client such a cool wow factor. Totally worth the time invested to create that video introduction to put together your appointment affirmation email. Totally worth it. The next module, module 4, is about landing more appointments, and that's what we're talking about today. It's about how do you handle that phone call? What do you do to be able to be credible on the phone? What do you do to use the right words to be able to get people to say yes to more appointments with you? Because the more at-bats you have, the more likely you will be to close those appointments. So to increase your close rate, the more chances you have to get in front of the consumer, the more sales you can make. And then the next module, which I just released yesterday, is called Rock Your Appointments. That's all about what do you do when you're in the home, and we'll talk about that next week. We also have a lot of great content in that module, the one I just released, about email marketing, how you can make money from your no's and no-shows over time. That's a really cool piece. How to handle objections before they even happen, the power of using story during your sales calls, and then how having a structured sales process can actually lead you to higher sales and more sales closed. So there's one more module to be released after this, but those are the five modules. So there's also a lot of content that if you have any questions at all on any of those topics or anything related to those things, so this is a great chance to get those questions answered, even if it's not directly related to the content that I'm going over on the call, the stuff I have prepped for you. So with that in mind, just wanted to open up the lines again, see if anyone has any questions. I'm almost through. I have one more little piece I want to teach you or to go over from what I've taught, the module, and then we're going to wrap up the call. Okay, I don't see any hands. So star 7 if you want something to share, and then star 2 to raise your hand if you want me to unmute you. So the last piece that I wanted to cover is tenacity, not giving up, being willing to try multiple times to get in touch with people. And one of the things I like to remember in this segment is there's a super, super successful remodeler in San Diego. He actually works with all of the insurance companies for water remediation and water damage. And he will be in the middle of an appointment. The phone will ring. He will politely excuse himself. And in 2 seconds, he already has a meeting on the books for that next person. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating ditching a meeting and coming back to it because he has such a large business. When people call his phone directly, it's a little less frequent. It's not something that happens on his day-to-day, but that's his culture. His culture and his business is that new prospects come immediately. As soon as they're there, they're being handled. And the reason for that is that there's a really great statistic that shows within 24 hours of a prospect calling you, they've totally forgotten your name. 24 hours, that's all it takes, one day. So once you see a new lead come in, let's say you miss a phone call or there's an email, get on it. Get on it right away and never feel like you're bothering someone to try and reach out to them either multiple times or in multiple different ways. Text message, phone calls, voicemails, emails, Facebook Messenger. There are 900 million people on Facebook and 600 million people on Facebook Messenger. If someone found you through social media, Facebook messaging is totally appropriate. So just remember that there are lots of different ways you can reach out to people and take advantage of them, and don't feel like you're bothering them. They're the ones who raise their hand to say that they want to do business with you. So it's your responsibility now to take action on their momentum. And if you do it, the sooner you do it, the more likely you will be in the long term to close that sale faster. So the reason that I suggest, not only because they're going to forget your name, you know, I'm sure that's happened to you, that you've called someone. Definitely happened to me. I call someone up. I need a plumber to come to my home. I call 3 or 4 people. I don't even remember who I called. So whoever calls me back first is probably the person I'm going to work with, because I like people who are fast action takers, because I am a fast action taker. So I feel like that will fit my vibe to work with someone who is willing to get on a lead right away. So that's one of the things that one of the decision factors that I make when I choose a service provider. The other element behind being tenacious is that people just get busy. You know, does it happen to you where you are 100% meaning to call someone back and you just forgot? The day slipped by, totally forgot. And then they call you again and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right, I got to do that. And it makes you more likely to do it when they don't give up, when you're the one who's being tenacious and following up with them. They're going to be more likely to respond back to you and to realize that your business as a consumer and their business as a consumer means something to you. It makes people feel important when you are not willing just to give up. Statistic that I did not share in the module, but that's a very interesting statistic. Actually, I'd love to, I'm going to unmute, I'm going to let you unmute yourself, star seven, unmute yourself. What I want you to do is guess, how many times does the average salesperson or the average business call back a lead? How many times? Star 7, unmute yourself, just shout out your answer. There's no pass or fail here.
Three.
You can be wrong. Three. Bruce thinks it's three. We've got a couple other people on the phone. You're going to be brave and give us a guess. Or maybe you're in front of clients and can't. You're just listening on mute. Star 7. I'm going to unmute everyone just in case there's a reason why people are not muted. Unmute everyone. Anyone want to shout an answer? Everyone's off of mute. No? Okay. Well, I'm going to just I'm going to mute everyone back. Thanks for that guess, Bruce. You're close. It's two. Two times. The average salesperson calls their prospect, good prospect. This is someone who hasn't even done business with them. They don't even have rapport with twice. So if you do it more than twice, if you make three or four or seven your number, you are going to be heads and shoulders above your competitors, because I guarantee you that many of your competitors are at least average, if not below average. So I am sure that if you think back in your memory banks, you can come up with a time where you called back a prospect one time and let that lead fall. I know I can. I ran a inside sales division, and I can with confidence raise my hand that I have absolutely done that. I have been 100% guilty of that. I had a lot of things on my plate. I called them back once. I meant to call them back again. I didn't put them in my funnel, and they just fell off the face of the planet. And guess what? They spent their money with someone else. If they're calling you, it's because they want to spend their money on their home. And they may as well spend their money with you, right? So let's empower that yes, empower that decision, and get them being your client. With that tenacity, the last little piece in tenacity is that when you are planning your callbacks, if you call everyone back at 8 a.m. and you don't really get good success, why do you keep trying to call them back at 8 a.m.? Switch it up a little bit. Try and call them at 1 p.m. Try and call them at 4. Try and call them, vary up the time of day when you call people. And what you'll find is that you're going to kind of hit on a general time of day where people are more likely to answer your calls. As a rule, this is a rule of email marketing. This is a little secret of email marketing, and this applies to phone calls. People are more likely to respond to an email between the hours of 11 and 1 p.m. because they're more likely to be at their desk. So if you're calling someone at their desk, they're more likely to respond to you between 11 and 1 p.m. Just a little tidbit, little secret that that I've learned by delving into the topic of email marketing, which we will get into a little bit next week. So that's just what I wanted to share. Those are my last little tips and tricks and ideas. There's more in the modules. Have your staff, absolutely have your staff watch the videos that apply to them, because they will learn skills that they didn't have before. And remember, especially with the people who are setting appointments, your office staff, I ran a call center for many years. If they're not getting it, if they're not able to change what they're doing, you're 100% allowed to bring them with you onto this coaching call. You know, I'm more than happy to talk with them directly. We have such a small group that if you want to bring two people and have two people ask me questions, I'm completely open to that. So if you want to share this content with your team and your team has questions, we can always get on, bring them on these calls with us and have them work through any of their questions that they have, or things that they're not understanding, or things that they really aren't willing to do. You know, maybe they have a good reason for not wanting to do it, and just by being able to vocalize the reason, have a third party, me, who's not you, you know, someone who's not their direct boss, explaining to them the reason behind it, sometimes that helps to create some more openness and willingness to change. Because change can be painful. Change can be painful for people. Change can be, you know, tapping into some of those fears of the unknown that are very strong for some people. And a lot of people who take administrative roles might be people who like routine a little bit more, who might be a little bit more adverse to change. So as a leader, that's kind of your role to be able to help them embrace change by sharing with them the why behind the changes that you're asking them to make. So, okay, well, that is all that I have prepared for you today. What I would love to do, if anyone wants to share an aha or to share an inspired action, I love to wrap up these calls with something checkoffable, something that you're going to do in the next week before our next call that's going to help you move forward towards your goals in your business. And maybe an aha, something cool that you learned throughout our call to just solidify that learning. When you share it, you take a moment to pause and take it in, it sticks in your brain a little bit better. So star 7 to unmute yourself, and there's a couple of you here left with us on the call, so feel free to just go ahead and jump in. going once, *7 to unmute yourself, an aha or an inspired action or maybe both, going twice. Okay, so I guess I will do mine. So my inspired action is to, I think I'm going to create a little document of tips and tricks for the pros and cons of doing qualifying. I don't have a little sheet for you on it. Qualifying your calls, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and how to get around those qualifying conversations. I think that would be a really cool little resource to add. And I see that someone unmuted themselves, so if you want to do an aha or an inspired action, go ahead, jump in.
Hey, Madeline, this is Bruce again. I just wanted to comment that I'm anxious to learn more about the video introduction. You had talked about that several weeks ago, and I'm trying to understand it, but it sounds like an outstanding way to really make a great first impression before you even arrive at the house. So
it absolutely is. Are you able to get into the portal? Is your portal access working for you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so if you go to the portal, I'm more than happy to go over it with you here on the call. And then quickly here, I think we've got some more time, so I'm willing to spend some time on it. And then if you want to go, there's all the resources you need right in the portal. So just go over to the modules tab, and it's under module 3, creating lasting first impressions. That's where you're going to find everything about the video introduction in there. But let me share with you a little bit about it. So it's a step-by-step process, and it's just a very short video. It's a 1 to 3 minute video that you can shoot right from your cell phone, load it up onto YouTube, and then share the link with people. It's just that easy. Very, very incredible thing. And it doesn't have to be, you know, if you want to listen back, we covered it actually in depth on last week's call, which is also up in the portal. So if you go over to the group coaching and you scroll down to the bottom of that page, that call is posted up there. So you can listen to the recording from last week,
catching
the ninth. That's okay. I always look at it this way. Like, all things happen in their right time for a reason. So you're never behind. You're just on time. So it's just in time in your business, in time in your life. It's the reason. There's some reason why it hasn't happened yet. So don't worry about it. It's going to happen. That's just a super powerful tool. It gives such a really professional wow factor. Your clients will be really impressed. A couple of my students in a similar course, just different industry, have closed deals on some of their big deals. Some closed $7,000, $5,000 sales with much less expensive products on the spot because their clients were so wowed by the video introduction. It makes you look head and shoulders better than your competitors, no question asked.
Mm-hmm.
So
good.
Really will professionalize.
Right.
Yep.
Thanks.
Okay. Do you want to share a inspired action or an aha with us before I'll let you wrap up the call?
I think the big takeaway for me is how to address this qualifying versus not qualifying, and I tend to agree with you. Don't try to qualify each and every one, but if you get a sense from somebody that they're just fishing or they're not really folks that have the money, but they're just interested in getting an answer regarding about how much something is. Well, then it's worth doing. But I've learned not to do too much of it because you definitely can burn a lead and have somebody just end up telling you, you know, okay, well, thanks. That's all I need to know. Goodbye.
Yes, exactly. And if it's thanks, that's all I need to know, goodbye, you can't ever convert that. You can't turn that into a sale. And the more, you know, there's a couple of companies that I've worked with also on the exterior side. And their firm philosophy is like, the more people you get in to see, that you can convince them into the product. If they want it, and the price is the hurdle, you can work around it. If that, again, it's only 20% of the buying decision is price. So if your product really fills all their needs, really fills their wants, and gives them what they need and want, you can close the sale. So it's a pretty cool thing to remember, that more at-bats, the more potential for home runs, the more intentional, more potential for those base hits. So the more at-bats you get, the better. So Okay, wonderful. Thanks for that. Okay, so I will do my little homework. I'm going to add that little feature to this module. I'll let you know when it's up and running. It might take me a week or so, but I think that'll be a really valuable resource. Some of the pros and cons behind qualifying and how you can do it effectively and what to avoid if you do qualify so that you don't exactly burn those leads. So, all right, wonderful. Well, thank you guys for your participation on the call. Thank you for being here live, even for those of you who were on mute. And I'm assuming a lot of people call in from job sites, et cetera. So thanks for listening live. For those of you who are listening to the recording, thanks for listening to the recording. And we're getting really close here. We've got two more weeks of these coaching calls. So like I said, if you want to get people involved in your organization, bring questions and comments, this is a time that you can use to answer the questions that you have. And next week, we are going to be talking about making money from your no's and no-shows with email marketing, how you can do it, how you can get started, and how you can make that really effective inside of your business. So excited for that chapter with you. And I will see you next week on the call, same time, same place. And until then, make it a great week and have a fantastic, fantastic weekend. Bye, everybody.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key.